Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, June 29th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, if you couldn't tell by the calendar, the high temperatures certainly make it clear that summer has arrived in the Northeast. And with the season comes a bountiful crop of vegetables and fruits you can find at area farmers markets. Today, we have three folks from the Troy Waterfront Farmers Market in the studio to talk about this year's produce and products. We have Liz Comital, Dale Isla Riggs, and Jess Garrity here to answer your questions. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. We have fruits, farmers markets. We have a head of lettuce the size of a small shrubbery. It's amazing. It's Vox Pop Food Friday. It begins after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today we explore all the goodies available at Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, held every Saturday in downtown Troy year-round. Some 14,000 customers visit the stands of nearly 100 vendors. The market's products range from organic produce to artisanal soaps, all produced within a 100-mile radius of Troy. Here to help us learn more about all this, Liz Comital, Dale Isla Riggs, and Jessica Garrity. Liz is the operations manager for the whole market production. Dale owns the Berry Patch Farm on Route 22 in Steventown, New York, and is a Food Friday veteran. Established in 1996, it is a 230-acre berry, vegetable, and cut flower operation. Dale is also the board chair of the New York State Berry Growers Association. Jess is with Collar City Cold Press Juice. Established in 2014, the operation uses ingredients ranging from pineapples to kale. Liz, Dale, Jess, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you so much.
We talked about a lot of great things during the break. Now, I want you to remember all of those in a minute. I'm going to give the number, 800-348-2551, if you want to call in. 800-348-2551. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. First, Dale Isla, you've been on the show many times before. Tell these two to relax.
Relax, guys.
I'm good.
Yeah,
especially Liz. You look a little uptight.
Oh, no. I'll relax a little. I'm just really excited to be here. I'm a big fan of the show. So,
Do I need to give you a strawberry to
Oh, that's a great idea.
Down?
Strawberry help you out?
Yeah, she needs a watermelon.
That's a nice. What'd you bring today?
I brought three different varieties of strawberries.
How are they looking this season?
It's a fast season. It's very quick. With this heat coming, it may be the last weekend for June-bearing strawberries.
Wow.
We may have a few next week, but we're harvesting as fast as we can and trying to get them out before the sun makes them melt in the field.
You brought only three this time. As I recall, you would bring many, many different kinds.
I brought
previous shows.
Yeah, six or seven varieties,
including
before.
Some secret new ones, right? That weren't named.
Exactly.
These are all named berries.
These are all named berries. Two of these varieties actually are types that will bear all summer long.
Mm-hmm.
So even though June-bearing strawberry season is kind of coming to a close, we'll actually have strawberries starting again in a couple weeks and have them through July, August, September, October. And I've even sold strawberries and raspberries at the farmer's market in November.
And that's the great thing about this farmer's market. And Liz, maybe you could talk about this a little more as well. It's a year-round operation.
Yes.
And that makes it difficult, though, doesn't it? Because if it's all local food, the dead of winter is not great in the Northeast for local food.
No, but we have phenomenal farmers like Dale Isla here that practice season extension techniques. There's greenhouses. There's a lot of new technologies out there to support producers all year round. So at our market, we've seen several of our produce vendors, you know, really step up and start producing year round. So Dale Isla is one of these amazing producers that in the dead of winter, you see fresh, tender greens and you're able to have salads like in winter. And it's phenomenal.
And you said in the break, no hothouses?
Unheated greenhouses.
Okay.
So they're a greenhouse with two layers of plastic that's inflated with air in between the two layers to give a little more insulation. But we don't add any additional heat other than, you know, what a sunny winter day gives us. it does take a lot more work because every night we're covering up our crops, our cold hardy crops, with anywhere between 1 and 4 layers of a fabric row cover. Mm-hmm. And then in the morning on a sunny day, we take it off and we cover it up again at night.
But I mean, we've had some very cold nights in this past winter.
Yeah, I think the winter market actually is my favorite time of year to go to the market because it is so phenomenal to walk into the market and you will have fresh baby lettuce and fresh kale and spinach and arugula. We have harvested, we've had 25 below zero on a Monday, had 25 below zero on a Thursday, harvested on Friday, and shown up at Saturday at the market with fresh greens.
That's pretty impressive. And there's no deal with the devil or anything involved?
No deal with the devil.
Good for you. That's great.
Nope.
You brought flowers. What's all that about?
Just a sample of, I think, you know, people think about farmers markets and food and value-added products like the juice that Jess makes. But I want to point out to people that, you know, there's a great variety of what I call food for the soul.
Yeah.
So we have annuals like these beautiful zinnias. We have perennials like the Rudbeckia here. And then also some perennials. This is a canna lily that I brought.
Huh.
That
it's That's actually a big plant.
It is. It gets a little taller. It's actually a tropical plant, so you have to bring it in during the winter. But I just think they're really cool looking. So I tend to grow stuff that I just think is really beautiful and cool. And, you know, I look at it and say, gee, that would be really nice looking in somebody's garden. Mm. So I just want to remind people that it's not just food that we have at the market. It's a whole range of products.
You know, I went over for lunch at a local establishment here today, and I said, well, the folks from Troy Farmers Market will be on. And she said, they have the best grilled cheese in the world at that place. And I said, really? This I didn't realize you get that sort of thing at a farmer's market. Really?
So I think all I do is eat on Saturday through the winter, especially. There's so much to eat at the market.
Really?
And just eating these strawberries out of this container, you know, I could eat probably an unlimited amount of them.
But by all means,
there's sandwiches. There's a ton of amazing food.
Can I ask you a question? What is with the enormous head of lettuce? And how did that happen?
Well, you know, it's been a cool spring.
Yeah.
And so I actually harvested it this
morning. Look at
morning.
That thing.
That's why it's still wet.
Oh, boy.
But I harvested it this morning.
Wow.
And this cool spring, the lettuce has just been super, super happy. So I, you know, people talk about not being able to eat one head of lettuce. And it's like, well, let's see. This is going to be what? 4 to 6 head equivalents.
I think you have to wear that as a hat to the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a huge, that's amazing.
I think that's a great idea. But just to remind people that, you know, we've got spring crops still because there's the lettuce and the other cool season crops like kale and arugula and spinach, but also the warm season crops are starting to come in. I've got cherry tomatoes here. I've got heirloom tomatoes. I've got red tomatoes. I've got summer squash. And it's the time of year where we're getting this huge variety of product coming in out of the fields and out of the unheated greenhouses as well. And it's just an awesome time of year to go spend time at the market.
You're very excited.
I am. It is a passion for me.
And Jess, you look excited too.
I am so excited about, well, obviously this lettuce, which I can't compete with, but it's just an exciting time of year to have all of this amazing, delicious, high quality stuff growing right here that we can eat and that I can juice, we could drink.
Okay, let's talk about the juice. Now, Jessica Garrity is with Collar City Cold Press Juice.
Yes.
You brought three juices. One is deep red, one is sort of light yellow, and one is pinkish. Now, I'm not that good with colors. I'm a little colorblind.
That was pretty good.
Okay. There's one flaw. There's no real names on it. It has cold press juice on it, and then what do you got to guess?
It is a guessing game. No, you don't have to guess, but everything changes all the time.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting as much produce and as much products as I can from fellow vendors and from the local, you know, growing scene. So I'm a lazy labeler. I don't want to print. I like to make things up as I'm going.
Yeah.
Like, things are just changing, and I don't want to, like, commit necessarily to one specific label when the next week, you know, maybe I won't be able to get the same exact, you know, beets or the same exact cucumbers, so the drink might not have it.
Yeah. And, all right. Yeah. Don't tell me what those are.
Okay.
What'll happen is we'll take a break in a couple of minutes, and then it's okay to open them.
Oh, yes.
I'll taste test that. And I'll try to tell you what they are with my very seasoned palate. It'll be amazing. Our number here is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Liz Comitale, Dale Isler Riggs, and Jessica Garrity, all involved with the Troy Waterfront Farmers Market. And Liz, it's got to be difficult to manage 100 vendors all the time. You have some troublesome ones, right? Besides Jess?
Besides Jess, she's the biggest one. No, everyone is really great. That's something that I hear a lot from our vendors, is that not only do the vendors themselves get along together, but we feel like a very strong community. And so they make my life a little easier, that's for sure.
Well, that's good. And I assume there's a waiting line to get in.
It is a very competitive market to enter, that is for sure.
Really?
We look for very unique, agriculturally oriented products. We are a producer-only farmers market, so that also makes us a little bit more difficult to get into.
And you say producer-only. There are actual farmers markets where there are not producer-only? I mean, isn't that the whole point?
To me, yes.
Yes.
For it to be a producer only for farmers.
Otherwise, it's just a supermarket, right?
Yeah, or like a brokerage of some sort. But yeah, it's actually pretty unique to be a producer only farmers market and have such strict, I guess, rules about production methods and locations and what it takes to be authentic in our marketplace.
And how do you enforce those rules?
Oh, we have a board of directors. We have a subcommittees. Dale Isla sits on one of our subcommittees, the Vendor Relations Committee. So there's a lot of, I guess, protocol that goes into making these decisions.
Do you have enforcers, some strong arms who...
Oh, that's
it's
me.
It's Liz.
You know, the boss thinks that maybe you're not organic enough. You know what I mean? All right, let's take a break here. Our number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday, and we'll do Name That Juice in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. Hudson Valley Hand-Cut Scones, featuring scones made with real butter, organic fruits, and non-GMO ingredients, available at local cafes and farmers markets, hudsonvalleyhand-cut.com. Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasonings, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Handcrafted in small batches, infused sea salts, peppers, and blends, specializing in garlic and hot pepper blends, rollingrocksalt.com for upcoming events. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts. Family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats, home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days, pekarskys.com. And Columbia Land Conservancy, working to raise $7 million to support land stewardship, farm and forest protection, and community engagement in Columbia County, clctrust.org.
Don't mind me. I'm just pouring juice here. Let the music go for a second. It's Name That Juice coming up on Food Friday. Number's 800-348-2551. Got the last one pouring here. Okay. This is exciting.
Great. Thank you.
Yes, you know what this is already.
Yeah, I don't think I can play it again.
Okay. All right, we're good. Now, enough Zappa, but that was great. Like a little son of Mr. Green Jeans, that's Frank Zappa here. 800-348-2551. Well, when we left the program, we had a mystery shaping up here. Jess makes juice at Collar City Cold Press Juice. Doesn't tell you what it is. So it's a caveat emptor, buyer beware. But I'm going to name the juice. Now, this one is yellow. Looks sort of like lemonade. It could be a very watery urine sample. Let's find out. Here we go. Oh, yeah, that's lemonade, right? Mm-hmm. And just lemons and water.
No.
No? I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
Okay, what is it?
So this is a lavender basil lemonade.
Okay.
So it's obviously very fancy compared to regular
lemonade. It's very delicious.
We get all of the lavender from Lavender Farm, mm-hmm. who's another vendor with us. And I'm able to get basil from fellow vendors normally. Do you have basil yet?
We do have basil.
Did it just start?
Just starting to come.
Yeah, it's just starting now.
Yep.
So other than that, yes. Lemons.
So this was one that you came up with and said, let's just do this.
Yes.
And how many a week do you come up with that are new?
In the summer, well, since we've gone outside in May, I tried to do a new recipe each week just because I'm trying to see
what works.
Sort of like, yeah, and not only what's popular, but how long it's taking me to make it. And
this one's great. Is it labor intensive?
No. That's pretty good.
I heard you mention wanting jalapenos. You're not seriously considering making jalapeno juice.
I do that actually every week because it's that popular.
Can you just please put a label on it? Because I would hate to buy a bottle by mistake.
I might label the habanero one when I do that.
All right, this one is pink. Okay,
and they are labeled on a menu on a chalkboard.
Oh, I see. At the Troy Waterfront Farmers Market.
Right, so people know what the options are and what they're drinking.
All right, this one is lightish pinkish. Looks like almost grapefruit juice. Let's try it. That is strawberry cucumber juice.
No, not one of those things is in that
juice. All right, what do we got?
This is watermelon.
Oh, it's delicious.
Jalapeno.
Really?
Limes.
You can definitely taste it.
Yeah.
Like that jalapeno is like one of the last flavors.
Yeah. And that's it. Actually, I think I dropped a little bit of ginger into it, but
that's good.
I don't know if you can really taste it.
Yeah, I taste
the
ginger.
Can you
a little bit? Yep.
I think the ginger will help ease my indigestion from the jalapenos and limes.
Ginger's so good. I would like to put ginger in every single thing.
That was really, really tasty. All right, the last one is a deep red. Okay, smells earthy.
Don't make that face.
This is beets, isn't it?
Yes.
I hate beets.
Come on.
This is my favorite one.
Really?
Actually, I tend to get this at every market. It's like little midday pick-me-up from just running around all day at the market. But yeah, I always tend to get this juice.
That is all year long. And since the first day I ever made juice, that is definitely like the most popular
really?
Juice.
Really? What else is in it?
It's just beets, apples, lemon, and ginger.
It does taste good.
That could use more lemon, though. I ran out from the lemonade.
Oh, really?
This is why I can't have labels.
Well, for beets, it's good. My father grew beets. I was never a big fan. He liked them. But all right, Dad, I'm drinking some beets here.
A lot of people don't – well, not a lot of people don't like beets, but a lot of people tell me they don't maybe enjoy eating beets, but they do like the beet juice, and beets are so nutritious. So if you're not going to eat them, maybe you can just drink them and reap their benefits.
All right. Our number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. We talk about the bounty that is just beginning here in our region. Dale Isla Riggs is here, Liz Cometel, and Jessica Garrity. And let's see, you brought heirloom tomatoes. Tell us about those heirloom tomatoes.
So heirloom tomatoes are starting to come in out of our heated greenhouse. We wouldn't have tomatoes at this time of year if we have one greenhouse out of four that we actually do add heat. So we planted these in early April, and have been harvesting the heirlooms probably for about a week or 10 days now. And so right here I've got six different varieties. I've got Black Crème. I've got Marigold. I've got Damsel. I've got Persimmon. I have a newer heirloom called Marnero.
How can you have a new heirloom?
I've been asking the seed companies that as well, and nobody wants to give me an answer.
They just found it in a drawer somewhere?
It's basically an improved heirloom, I think.
Yeah.
Whether they've actually bred them to be quote-unquote heirlooms. If it is an actual hybrid, it's obviously not an heirloom. If it's open-pollinated, it could still, I guess, qualify as an heirloom, especially if you cross two heirloom tomatoes with each other. The genetics are such that it would still be
okay, that makes sense. Or for those who don't know, tell us what an heirloom tomato is?
An heirloom tomato is basically an antique variety of tomato. So they are varieties that existed before we started getting hybrids. So they're varieties that were around before 1950. That's when...
Prior to 1950 makes it an heirloom.
Right.
And they saved
right.
seeds from back then.
Exactly.
And were some of these ones that didn't really quite make it?
Well, in the commercial trade, once people started shipping tomatoes thousands of miles, the heirlooms kind of fell by the wayside. They are trickier to grow from a production standpoint. They tend to be what are called indeterminate. So the plants will grow all season long. And like in our greenhouse, they'll get 12 feet tall.
Oh, neat.
Whereas if you're a commercial grower, you want something that is out in the field and often gets maybe 3 or 4 feet tall and is a more concentrated ripening time. But the heirlooms, they tend to have softer skins. So
Can I feel?
Sure. Just don't squeeze it too hard.
Look at that. Well, it feels like a tomato.
Yeah.
Here, you want to squeeze a tomato? Here, you go ahead, Liz.
Yeah. Some of these, like damsel, that one is a little bit softer. You can feel that it's a little softer.
I'd like to try that. Can we try them?
Absolutely. I brought a knife and a cutting board and salt.
Like just most so of my guests, you bring a knife. That's good.
Absolutely.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. We talk about all the goodies today available at farmers markets in our region, and specifically today, the Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, which you hold year-round, which is just really amazing. 14,000 customers every year.
That is our new Saturday summer average.
Every Saturday.
That's
crazy talk.
Yeah, so it's really amazing. Like, we have a very, very supportive community, but we're also seeing people come from all over the Northeast now, people who are just swinging through Troy on vacation. They're like, I heard about this market. I got to stop. And it's really incredible. It's very lively, and it's vibrant, and...
What happens when it snows or rains or sleets or hails?
We still all come.
You stand out in the snow and sleet and hail?
No, we go indoors.
Oh, really? Okay, yep. So explain.
Yep. So throughout our winter months, November through April, we are inside the Troy Atrium. And so we still operate 9 a.m. till 2 p.m. And we move everyone just indoors. And we still have a tremendous turnout. Now, we're not seeing 14,000 people on our winter Saturdays. However, we're still seeing several thousand people. And it's amazing to have that support of local businesses and local agriculture all year round.
It must be nice to have, I assume, a good relationship with the city officials, because you couldn't do it without that, right?
It is. The city of Troy is very supportive, and we're very lucky for that.
Yeah, and that's all you'll say?
I'm here to enjoy food today and not get any political.
So they're not that great. Okay.
Oh, they're amazing.
I understand. All right, good. Well, I'll just leave it alone. Our number here is 800-348-2551. It is Food Friday. Liz Comitel, Dale Isla Riggs, and Jessica Garrity here. And if you want to call in, feel free. Let's try some of these heirlooms. What's your favorite one, Dale Isla?
I think... I will open up a black creme first.
Ooh, that's nice.
But before I do that, I just want to mention that this is to me, very special heirloom, because this is my own variety of tomato.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I found it growing in my greenhouse one year. Very different color. This one's a little more olive green than normal. They're usually kind of a gold to olive green, sometimes a little bit orange.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've actually been saving seed each year and kind of selecting seed from the best tomato fruit each year to try to actually get this into an actual variety. Probably one or two more years, and I'll probably start approaching some seed companies about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there money to be made in that?
Probably not very much.
No?
But, you know, I think it'd be kind of cool to open up a seed catalog and see Dale Isla's Delight.
Is that what you will call it?
That's what I'm going to call
it. Well, let's try it. Okay.
Yeah.
It almost looks too good to cut. I mean, do you feel bad about it?
No. Okay. I never feel bad about
let's
eating
do that,
a tomato.
Then. You know, I'll bet you Jess wants
you
to make some
see
juice
what I
out
do
of this.
Those beets. Yeah, we
really?
Can't feel bad about that.
Well, the beets deserve it. Let's be honest.
Come on.
But these tomatoes, wow, look at that.
I think I got to juice some tomatoes.
Yeah, you know, it's nice and meaty. There's not very many seeds in it.
Oh, this is fantastic.
We actually had a tomato tasting at our farm last summer, and we got input from people, kind of had them rate the different tomatoes that they tried, and Dale Isla's Delight came up.
Oh my gosh!
Pretty much at the top.
Does Rocco DeFazio ever show up down at the Waterfront Farmers Market and buy some tomatoes and make some sauce?
I don't know, but DeFazio's their vendor with us at the market.
We love Rocco, and maybe he can make some pizza sauce out of Dale's Delight.
I'm sure he would like to.
They're
that would be
creative.
A different color. sauce.
That's okay.
So, yeah, that's true.
That's okay.
That's okay.
All right, look at you. You're not even touching it with your fingers.
Nope.
We're very casual here on Food Friday, you know.
Just in case there's any people from the health department.
Good. Well, hopefully them not listening and the FCC. And frankly, no one else is listening too. So we're just having a good time. All right, so let's try this.
I'm so excited.
And I brought a salt shaker because, you know, what's a tomato without a little bit of salt?
Well, I just had some without salt, and it's very flavorful.
See, this is why I don't eat tomatoes in the winter.
Why is that?
There's no point. This is delicious. This is like, I mean, if Dale is growing these in the winter with her extended growing season, then yes, I would eat them. But I'm saying this compared to like a pinkish orange tomato plucked from a grocery store shelf in mid-February. It's a different food.
Well, I got to say, this is amazing. It's so meaty. And it's got real depth to it. Very nice. Well, let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. Mark in Glenville. Mark, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon. Hi, Liz, Jess, and Delilah. I'll see you all tomorrow, as usual. Kind of a rhetorical question, which I don't know if you'll get to ask them, but maybe they can comment on the economic impact of the farmers market on the rest of downtown Troy, how it seems to introduce people to restaurants and shops, other venues downtown that they otherwise might not know of, except for being introduced by the market itself.
Sounds like you just did it. But go ahead, Liz.
I think I recognize his voice here. Hello, Mark. Mark is, if I've got this correct, Mark is a longtime loyal customer to the market, and we see him every Saturday, and I look forward to it. We definitely believe as a market that there's kind of been a Troy Renaissance revitalization, and, you know, a lot of that has happened during our time in downtown on River Street. So I think we have a definite, undeniable impact. And we do data collection and all those exciting things to try and evaluate people's behaviors and their patterns and their shopping patterns. And majority of people just love that experience of shopping at the market, wandering in and out of all the stores and the boutiques that are downtown. So, we have a definite impact.
Well, thank you, Mark. Go ahead, Jess.
No, I was going to say I live downtown, and I'm at the market, and I'm in that neighborhood every single day. And the market definitely brings so many people, obviously, you know, into the downtown center, but so many people hang out, you know, for the rest of the day. They'll continue to go on and have lunch, or they'll continue to check out some other stuff.
Yeah, they have plenty of places to have a drink.
Yeah, it's very vibrant. Yes, many drinks.
Well, I got to tell you, Dale Islet, this tomato is off the charts. It's really, really, really good.
Awesome.
I think you have something there.
I hope so.
And you got to get a good agent. I mean, you know what I mean? You make some cha-ching out of this.
Right, exactly.
800-348-2551 is the number. Let's go to Mark. I don't know where you're calling from, Mark, but you're on.
Okay, I'm calling from Montrose, Pennsylvania. Ooh. I got a question about raspberry bushes. I have a large amount of raspberry bushes in my backyard, but they produce the little white berries, but they never get any better. And I have wild ones in my backyard that are already getting red. I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing wrong.
Dale Alley will know.
So you're not getting berries at all? Is that what you said, Mark?
No, I'm getting the berries, but they don't mature. They pretty much stay white. I got bees pollinating them and all that. They're just not maturing like the wild ones do.
Not maturing. But the little, what we call drupelets, the little individual parts of each berry are swelling and, you know, getting size, but they're just staying white?
Yes, correct.
Boy, I don't know.
Oh, boy.
I'm a raspberry grower, but I've never seen that happen, except I have seen sunburn, like, on one side of the raspberries.
Right.
If the whole fruit is that way, I think you should contact the folks at Penn State Extension. They have a really great small fruit specialist there named Kathy Demchak, and I think Kathy would be really interested in hearing about that and may be able to help you out.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. You know, we did the gardening show yesterday, and those guys may have actually been able to help in that situation. Our number here is 800-348-2551. All right, Delilah, what tomato is this?
That one is a newer variety called Damsel.
Damsel. All three of these pieces?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do I have to eat all three?
It's up to you.
I don't know if I can do it. You make a juice out of it here.
Right.
They're delicious. They're like sweet.
So
and you're.
I really do. I really do want to juice tomatoes with maybe celery and horseradish as a. Like a Bloody Mary starter.
Holy mackerel, that's a genius idea right there. I think that would be successful. This one is much more water in it.
Right, right. Juicy.
Mm-hmm. I got to say, so far I prefer your own.
That's what I want to hear.
Me too. I'm going for the Dale Isla Delight. I mean, that's
But I think so if you're good. Making juice, you want to go with the one we just tried.
Because it's juicier.
There's more juice.
Higher juice yield.
That's right. That's how you say it in the biz.
It's always a good thing.
We're joined today by Jessica Garrity, Liz Cometel, and Dale Isla Riggs. It is Food Friday. We talk farmers markets today. Our number is 800-348-2551. I'm pointing to the engineer through the flowers. Hello, Zach. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Spirit House Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Convino Wine Bar, Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 70 wines by the glass and a full menu from afternoon snack through nightcap. Live music Sundays and Mondays. Outdoor seating, Thorns Marketplace, convinowinebar.com. Henry's at the Farm Restaurant, Buttermilk Falls, Milton, taking reservations for July's River Patio Pairing Dinner with Colti Buono Wines of Chianti, Italy, Sunday, July 15th, buttermilkfallsinn.com. And the Egremont Village Inn, presenting Revelin Dimes, blues-driven rock from New York City on June 29th, June 30th, Rob Fish Kind of Blue jazz tribute to Miles Davis, thebarn.com.
Zach, take a note. We're going to do an heirloom tomato show with just all heirloom tomatoes. Mm. This is delicious.
And
all right.
Some mozzarella.
Great idea. So Dale beautiful. Isla, this little one here that I just ate, phenomenal.
Okay.
This
so
one.
So that's just kind of a standard.
Oh, no, this one. I'm sorry. It was this strange green alien looking one.
That one is called Chocolate Sprinkles.
Oh, my gosh. So great.
Yeah.
I love the names of all fruit and vegetable varieties. Like, you look through a seed catalog and you're just like, what were these people thinking?
I mean, they were drunk, right? All right. Our number here is 800-348-2551, and we'll get back to the phones in a minute. Okay. Tell us what these other ones are.
Okay. So this orange one is absolute number one favorite of our customers. It's called Sun Gold.
Okay. Mm.
Very, very sweet, very, very flavorful.
Mm.
There's the chocolate sprinkles, which is this kind of the alien color, red, green, brown stripes. The plain red one is called Favorita. And then this pinky stripey one is called Pink Bumblebee.
Mm.
Yeah.
So good.
So there's
the one tastes like bacon. This This orange one has a little bacon taste to it.
Does it really?
Yeah.
You're not thinking BLT, are you?
I know. You're imagining a BLT.
I'm always imagining bacon. All right. Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Andy in Canajo Harry. Andy, you're on.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hello.
Hey, I've got a question regarding the farmer's market. I'm wondering if I were to pursue marketing an agricultural product directly to the consumer, what type of product or what specific product is the most asked for that you don't have available at the market?
Ah, Liz.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a difficult question to have. We're very well represented at the market with a whole array of agricultural products and kind of value-added products. Surprisingly enough, when we did a very large customer survey over the winter, I was surprised that the results of the number two most sought-after products at the market were fresh fruits and vegetables. You'd think with a farmer's market that, of course, that would be, but with farmer's markets kind of failing left and right, with producer and consumer trends changing, it's really phenomenal to have that feedback. I don't have something or a specific product I can give you at this time to guide you. us in particular, we only do applications once a year, traditionally in January. It's a very competitive market to get into. So I suggest of everyone that's interested in joining specifically our market, right now is a great time to come and take a look at what's available. And when we look to add new vendors, we look for something that's very unique, very high quality.
Thanks a lot, Andy. We appreciate the call. Did you just say that a lot of farmers markets are failing around the country?
Yes, it's the current trend. They're actually doing national studies, and our farmers market in particular is being a case study as to why aren't we.
So why do you think you aren't?
Well, if everyone could see, like, Dale Isla's spread right now, I think that'd be one.
You make a point. Yeah, you make a point.
Well, because I love you too, and I love all your products, and the fact that we have, and that we have these very special connections. Like, Jess uses farmers within our market to produce her products. So we have this interconnectedness of our own vendors, but also it's just been this growing thing. It's very special, and Troy's kind of magical too. So I think all those things working together.
Okay. Well, that's very interesting. I always thought farmers markets were on the up around the country, and I guess I was just wrong about that.
They've exploded in numbers over the past 5 to 10 years. However, the past about 3 to 5 years, that's, you know, when things start weeding themselves out, the smaller ones are less successful ones.
So they've reached saturation. It's like casinos. You have too many, and then they start failing. So it'll reach its
Never
natural
heard that
level
comparison.
At
yes.
some point.
Yes.
But I think the standards are so high, you know, for the Troy market, and everyone really does have amazing products. And like Liz said, the fact that it is producer only and the fact that it is, you know, really sort of strict, I guess, in that way. You know, everything there is great, and everyone there is excited about what they have, I think.
So, that's very interesting about being strict. I mean, really, you have to tell people, hey, you don't meet the standards?
Yes. I mean, if we weren't strict, I wouldn't have a job, you know? There wouldn't be an operations manager.
All right, so.
I mean it in a good way.
No, no, I get it. And I can tell she's tough. And I'm just going to just go back to the phones and just try to stay out of trouble. Judy in Woodstock. Judy, you're on.
Hi. I have a tomato question.
Okay.
I have had pretty good luck with Sun Golds. They're in either a raised bed or a barrel. The problem is that this is a patio that has a lot of sun early in the summer, and then as the sun moves to the south toward the end of the summer when things are getting ripest, there's more shade there because it's really not quite north-facing, but certainly not south-facing. So other than the Sun Golds, which do all right, are there other things that you would recommend, other varieties?
You know, tomatoes are one of those plants that you really want to have them in sun as much as possible. Anything that is producing a fruit needs as much sun as possible to maximize the photosynthesis that the plant is doing. And so people are always asking me, you know, like with some of our flowers, do they need sun or they need shade? And what I always say is the more sun they get, the more flowers you will get. Well, it's the same thing with something like a tomato plant. It's really a crop that is meant to be grown in the open. So I'm wondering if there's a way that you could put it in a pot that has wheels and maybe move it around your deck so that you could move it to the sunny part later in the day.
Take your tomatoes for a walk.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I'm not mobile enough to do that. I have people gardening for me, and maybe they could. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a crop that it really needs full sun to get maximum production and maximum flavor.
All right, Judy, thank you very much. Are all the heirlooms the same as far as their need for sun, or are there some that are better, more happy in shade?
I've never seen a tomato plant that's happy in shade.
Okay.
Not that gives you tomatoes. The plant will grow just fine, but you won't get a lot of flowers and therefore fruit.
You know, my wife's growing corn. Should we bring some down to the the
Absolutely.
Farmer's market? No, Liz will be like, no, you don't meet the standards. No, please go away. All right, let's go to Will in Sheffield. Will.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm actually calling from the little Sheffield farmer's market, but that's not why I called.
Okay.
I wanted to share a crazy smoothie recipe that my wife made up. And since it was a strawberry show, I figured I'd call in. She made this smoothie the other morning, and she asked me, do you want this smoothie? I'm going to put some arugula in it with strawberries and milk and maybe a banana.
Yeah.
And I said, that sounds awful, but sure, I'll try it. and it was amazing.
Really? With arugula in it?
So I just wanted to, with arugula. Yeah.
So
it had arugula.
And so what possessed your wife to do that?
Well, she's pregnant.
Ah.
And she's trying to get her greens, her leafy greens. And that was her creative way of doing it. I thought it was going to be just awful.
Well, let's ask our juice expert. What do you think?
I love to juice or have a smoothie with arugula or any kind of gigantic lettuce. And I think that people are constantly surprised that you can take something like arugula or something like kale like it's a person.
Yeah. He doesn't really get a good rep.
Right. He doesn't have a good rep.
No.
But, you know, they really do. The taste of good food, like combined with other good food, can be way better than people think it's going to be.
Well, Will, I admire you for trying it, and I'm glad it worked out okay for you. And good luck with the new baby coming. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Ray.
Have a good one. 800-348-2551. Arugula? I don't know.
Delish.
Really? Okay, you're onto it. Are you going to take this giant head of lettuce that Dale Isla brought?
I would, yes.
How many bottles of your mystery juice could you get out of that?
Probably. Well, I wouldn't. You don't want just lettuce juice.
Lettuce juice? Delicious.
So I would think like, you know, I like to combine. If I do like a romaine lettuce, that's usually good with something that has some spice, like a ginger, and then you got to throw something in for some color because it's going to be this like weird milky green color.
Nothing wrong with that.
but if I just did juice that head of lettuce, I would probably get about 64 ounces of juice.
Wow. We're here with Liz Comital and Dale Isla Riggs and Jessica Garrity, and Jessica runs Collar City Cold Press Juice. Got to be honest with you. You know, I'm against the beets.
Yeah.
I drank my whole cup of beet juice.
It was good.
And there was a jalapeno or something in that? Or?
No. The beet has beet, apple, lemon, and ginger.
Or maybe I was drinking the other. No, I drank the beet juice.
Starting next week, it's actually going to be a lot better because next week will be the first week that I'll be able to get beets from some of our local vendors. They're just coming up. Actually, I got some last week, but they were smaller than... I don't know. They were smaller than those cherry tomatoes.
So you can only make a shot glass full.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Becky in Delmar. Becky, you're on.
Hey, Ray. How you doing?
Hi, neighbor.
You ready for the fourth?
More or less. The fireworks are rolling in. We'll be all right.
Okay. I may have an answer for the gentleman from Pennsylvania on his raspberries.
Okay.
Is it possible he has white raspberry bushes?
Well, there's certainly... light yellow raspberry bushes. There are several different varieties of yellow raspberries. I've yet to see a variety that is actually white, but I haven't actually looked through the catalogs recently at raspberry bushes with, you know, my plantings established. But there's definitely yellow ones. I've just never heard of white ones.
I've seen the yellow ones called white before, and they're very, you know, they're pretty pale. They just begin to sort of get a little bit of blush or color on them.
I've never heard of such a thing. Are they sweet?
Yeah, they're very sweet. They don't.
I don't like them as much as the red.
They don't tend to have that acidity that a red raspberry will have. So some people love them. Some people prefer the red.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're nice, especially in a mix with a fruit bowl. You know, you get the golden raspberries and the red raspberries and black raspberries and strawberries and all those fruits thrown together.
Hey, Becky, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Our number is 800-348-2551. Jessica Garrity and Liz Comital and Dale Isla Riggs are here. The Troy Waterfront Farmers Market goes on year-round, and we're talking about all kinds of good stuff today on this program. I feel healthier already. It'll soon pass. Let's go to Mark in Pleasant Valley. Mark, you're on.
Hello there. Hi, Ray. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I live in Dutchess County, and we can't easily get to Troy, although it's a wonderful farmers market, I know. But we have farmers markets down here almost every day of the week. We've got Arlington on Thursday near Vassar College. We have Milan on Friday. We have Hyde Park Saturday 9 to 2. We have Beacon on Sunday, and on Monday afternoon, we have the Poughkeepsie Waterfront Market at the Children's Museum.
That's amazing.
So if your listeners are down here, down south in Dutchess County, they've got a lot of choices.
That's great. Now, are they all the same farmers who just go day after day to the same place, or is it a different roster at each one, Mark?
No, there are different ones at each one.
And they're all doing very well? Because Liz says, things aren't going all that well for a lot of farmers markets. Everything seems okay down in Dutchess County?
It seems like it's pretty good, yeah. My business, which is sourdough bread, is good at both the Poughkeepsie Waterfront Market and the Hyde Park Market. So
sourdough
bread.
I was
in Beacon over the winter. Beacon's an excellent market.
That's excellent. Hey, Mark, thanks a lot. And sourdough bread, you can't go wrong. That's beautiful. Let's go to Michelle in Plattsburgh. Michelle, you're on.
Hi. Yes, I'm calling about organic honey. I drove through Albany, and I stopped at a farmer's market just at the rest stop, actually, and I bought some fabulous honey. And I cannot find it regularly at my farmer's market. So are there less honey producers out there? I thought honey producers were on the rise.
We have a few honey producers at our market. None are certified organic, or at least at this time. It's very difficult when you raise bees to have a certified, essentially bee product, certified organic. There's been a lot of difficulties in Dale, I bet you could speak on this too. Difficulties with colony collapse and other issues with bees. So I know in our area, there have been several beekeepers that are struggling, or our vendors help raise bees on other people's properties. That's very common. I don't know about the industry as a whole.
That's what I was looking into.
Okay.
Yeah, I was looking into raising some bees of my own.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I could get the honey myself.
Well, that's a good plan. Dale Eiley, you want to weigh in at all?
Yeah, certainly there's been problems over the last, actually about 10 years now, with colony collapse, often associated with the coldest winters.
Yeah.
And last winter, certainly, we had 21 below zero for a week in Steventown.
Yeah.
So bees didn't make it through the winter very well last year. I think there's probably more and more small size beekeepers out there. So maybe they're just selling their honey locally to people, within their personal circle, and not as many actually out at the markets. It's also pretty hard to compete with some
stop.
Of the honey get, that
they
gets
were
shipped
selling
in.
It at a rest stop.
Amazing.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Michelle, we're almost
done. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. And thank you for calling from Plattsburgh. This whole business about having mini farmers markets at rest stops kind of blows my mind. When did this start?
Typically, it's part of the Taste New York series. So I don't know the exact year that it started, but there's a lot of movement for farm to institution in New York State and other programs to help get local and especially New York State produced products into the hands of consumers. It's very clever at the rest stops.
Yeah, and sort of a captive audience. You're unless you're exiting the thruway, you're there.
Right. We've been approached a few times. Our issue is we don't have the staff to be able to do them.
Yeah.
I would love to, but I think one thing that people don't really think about is how much time it takes farmers to actually prep for a market each week.
Yeah.
And then besides the market itself, set up, break down, getting back to the farm.
You have to farm as well, don't you?
Yeah. Plus running a farm.
Setting up the market, and just doing the Troy market is... It's a big day. I was, had very high hopes for myself this season. I applied to 10 markets.
Yeah.
And I got into them all, I just can't get there.
So you got in? You got in and you said, sorry, no.
How
irritated were they?
First of all, the Troy market is, there's nothing like the Troy market, I think. So.
Right. But yet you still were going to go to other ones. Does Liz know about this?
Yes, she does.
Okay.
I support it. I love our vendors to stay with us, but it's important for especially local businesses for the exposure and to get out there and connect with consumers.
And I only can sell at markets because it's a raw, unpasteurized juice.
Mm-hmm.
You can only sell direct to consumer. But
you want to take a quick call before we wrap up here? We only have a minute or two left. So let's go to James. James, where are you calling from?
Calling from Ulster County, New York, between Ellenville and Kingston.
All right, you're on the air.
Okay, I am a beekeeper, so whenever I use something on my property, I want it to be bee-friendly. And I also have a large asparagus patch. And the only product I found in the past to control asparagus beetles was something called Rotenone. However, New York State has banned it, or else it's been taken off the market, and I don't know why.
Okay, and is that a question, or...
Do they know offhand about... you know, asparagus, I'm sure, must be sold at their farmer's market, and some people must raise it. How they control asparagus beetles and yet be bee friendly.
All right, Dale Isla, you may have an idea.
Yeah, we actually raise and sell asparagus at the market. We just keep our asparagus really well picked, and we find that we pick every day, and therefore we're removing any eggs that are laid each day.
Yeah.
And New York State would be the one that would determine whether it was taken off the market or not. So regulatory issues must have been in play there.
All right. Well, we're about out of time. And James, thanks a lot. Jess, you don't make asparagus juice, right?
I'm thinking about it now.
That's where I draw the line. All right. So, Dale Isla, how do people find out about the Berry Patch?
They can go to our website, theberrypatch.net. We also have a Facebook page, The Berry Patch, and we are on Instagram, The Berry Patch NY.
And you're a good follow. All right, and let's talk about Jessica Garrity and Collar City Cold Press Juice. Are you guys on the web?
Yes, collarcitycoldpress.com, and we're very active on Instagram and Facebook as well.
All right, and Liz Comitel, the farmer's market itself, the Troy Farmer's Market.
Yep, troymarket.org, and we also have Instagram and Facebook. You can find us, Troy Market.
Well, this was fun, and thank you for bringing all the good stuff today. Support comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout western Massachusetts. BlueHeronDining.com/catering. Gloriosa and Company, hosting weddings at the Curtis House in Ashfield, Massachusetts, with on-site guest accommodations, local floral design, and weekly summer flower CSA shares, also available. GloriosaCo.com. Delmar Farmers Market, 332 Kenwood Avenue, Delmar, celebrating 10 years of local and organic farm products, baked goods, fair trade crafts, music, and more every Saturday from 9 to 1, DelmarMarket.org. And Vintage 20 Wine and Spirits, Duanesburg, offering an array of libations. Wine and Spirits, open 7 days a week, providing home delivery services, Vintage20Wine.com. Thanks again to Liz, Dale Isla, and Jess for being with us today. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineers, Zach Malloy. Zach, the week is almost done. Louise Butler took the calls. Jim Lavoulis is our producer. I'm Ray Graff. Have a great weekend. Alan will be back in the big chair on Monday for a Medical Monday. Right now, stand by for news.